heaviness may endure for a night. God has been our refuge and strength. The processional hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Welcome, everybody, to the Church of the Ascension on this eve of the 80th anniversary of VE Day. It's great to see so many, and we're particularly pleased to have various visitors, both participating in the service and as members of the congregation. I refer in particular, of course, to the Bailey's Mills Accordion Band, who over these past years have been regularly amongst us on different occasions. Just coming 12 months ago, they were here for the commemoration of D-Day, the significant anniversary of that event, and now here we are again a year later for VE Day. When I see the choir of Annahill Primary School, I feel the Christmas tree should be there, because that's very often when you are here for our traditional nine lessons and carols. But I am so pleased that you are able to be here this evening together with the principal, Mr. Smith, the Vice Principal, Mrs. McCune, and Mrs. Hilary Purdy, because there is a general feeling with which I share so much that the significance of an event like this, as those who were around at that time in 1945 are diminishing. We need to take the responsibility seriously of passing on to you our knowledge of that. I mean, there are very few around now with personal knowledge of the events of VE Day. I certainly wasn't around then, but I listened to my grandparents and my parents when they were alive and the stories they told. And just as your mums and dads and grannies and granddads, I'm sure, now do the same with what they heard and passing it on to you. Last but by no means least, I am delighted to welcome the Mayor, Councillor Curtis Dixon. In his term of office, it has turned out he's been no stranger to our church and parish. He very kindly made himself very, I think it was one of the first Sundays in his term, he was with us when I was celebrating the 40th anniversary of my ordination. He was with us at Christmas, and now he's making it the hat trick by being here on what I know is a very big schedule of commitments relating to VE Day during this week. Mr. Mayor, we're delighted to have you with us. Dear friends, we have come together to mark the anniversary of victory in Europe 80 years ago. Some of us may have memories of that day. Others among us may have heard about it from other people. We come together conscious of our need for God's forgiveness for the sin and the desire to dominate others that leads to conflict between people and war between nations. We want to give thanks for the soldiers, sailors, and airmen who fought for freedom in the Second World War, especially those who gave their lives restraining evil and opposing tyranny. While acknowledging that 80 years ago, many were still waiting for news of loved ones in the Far East, we gather joyfully today as those who gathered on that first victory day, glad of each other's company and grateful for the joy and love that followed times of sadness and loss in Europe. We give thanks for those who showed much resilience on the home front and also want to reaffirm our own commitment to peace, the peace that the nations of Europe have enjoyed since the Second World War. God of peace, who raised Christ Jesus to victory over death, keep us ever mindful of the cost of making peace, of responding to the call to be peacemakers, and of the carefulness needed to keep the peace in our lives, in our land, and in our world. Amen. We sing the hymn, I Vow to Thee, My Country. Thank you.
This reading is from Winston Churchill's speech on the 8th of May, 1945. Yesterday morning at 2:41 a.m. at General Eisenhower's headquarters, General Udall, the representative of the German High Command, and Grand Admiral Dönitz, the designated head of the German state, signed the act of unconditional surrender of all German land, sea, and air forces in Europe to the Allied Expeditionary Force, and simultaneously to the Soviet High Command. Hostilities will end officially at 1 minute after midnight tonight, but in the interests of saving lives, the ceasefire began yesterday to be sounded all along the front, and our dear Channel Islands are also to be freed today. The German war is therefore at an end. After years of intense preparation, Germany hurled herself on Poland at the beginning of September 1939, and in pursuance of our guarantee to Poland, and in agreement with the French Republic, Great Britain, the British Empire, and the Commonwealth of Nations, declared war upon this foul aggression. After gallant France had been struck down, we from this island and from our united empire maintained the struggle single-handedly for a whole year until we were joined by the military might of Soviet Russia and later by the overwhelming power and resources of the United States of America. We may allow ourselves a brief period of rejoicing, but let us not forget for a moment the toil and efforts that lie ahead. We must now devote all our strength and resources to the completion of our task, both at home and abroad. Advance Britannia, long live the cause of freedom. God save the King.
O Almighty God, grant, we beseech thee, that we who here do honour to the memory of those who have died in the service of their country and of the Crown, may be inspired by the spirit of their love and fortitude, that, forgetting all selfish and unworthy motives, we may live only to thy glory and to the service of humankind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, "Put peace into each other's hands, and like a treasure holder, protect it like a candle flame, with tenderness enfold it."
Life is meant. A reading from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 4, God's promised time of peace. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised up above the hills. People shall start to stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, but they shall sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken.
The hymn, "God is our strength and refuge."
A reading from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, the call to be reconciled. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
The hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah."
Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A retired GP and church warden from Devon, whose father was vicar of Crediton during the Second World War, has recently shared the handwritten sermon he wrote to celebrate VE Day ahead of the 80th anniversary on tomorrow. Jane Richards, now aged 91, was 11 in 1945 when Victory in Europe Day, marking the official end of the Second World War in Europe, was declared. Her father, the Reverend Francis Richards, had been a minor canon at St. Paul's Cathedral during the London Blitz and was on fire warden duty in the dome of the cathedral the night a bomb landed on the steps and bounced down them. In 1940, he moved to become vicar of Crediton to provide a safer environment for his growing family. Jane said he used to write each of his sermons by hand in a series of notebooks he kept in alphabetical order. She inherited the notebooks when he died, and she has recently been sharing online his sermon of the 13th of May, 1945. It starts with the words, "During this past week, great events have come to a final issue, and we have celebrated the day of victory in Europe, to which we had long been looking forward. No doubt you have all been reading reviews of the progress of the war through these years in your newspapers. And I need not quote instances here to remind you how often or for how long the prospect of victory seemed remote, perhaps unattainable. And many of us lived through moments when we wondered whether we ourselves should be spared to see it come to pass. Anxiety has been a constant companion for years to many of you. Anxiety over someone you love. The anxiety in some cases has ended in grief and bereavement. There have been so many deprivations too, normal pursuits that were forbidden or impossible, shortages of what we have become accustomed to regard as daily necessities. All this we have been putting up with for years, waiting and hoping for the end, looking forward to the day and saying to each other, never mind, it's going to end someday. At last, here we are. It has ended. And personally, he said, I find it difficult to believe even now. He continued, I dare say you do too. We have hoped for it so much that we have become more accustomed to the hoping than to the enjoying, and it takes time to adjust ourselves. This afternoon, there is to be a big public thanksgiving, and you have already attended the service on VE Day itself to thank Almighty God, so that I do not need to exhort you on the subject of being grateful that war in Europe is over. But I expect it will not have escaped you. But in this week which brought us the great event of our times, there was also commemorated an event for which the adjective great is too small, an event not of our times, but of all time, an eternal event that affects all humankind. Do you suppose it was chance that brought VE Day into the same week as Ascension Day? I do not think it was, but whatever anyone may think about that, the resemblances which connect the two events are no less remarkable. One is a type of the other. Ascension Day was the day our Lord had been looking forward to for years,
the faith that he finally held to, that that day would eventually come, sustained him through all the worst moments of his earthly career. He knew the griefs of bereavement, the betrayals, and forsaking of friends that human life abounds in. His experience of shortage and deprivation was greater and deeper than ours could ever be, for he who was Lord of heaven and earth laid aside all his divine prerogative in order to come down and fight the battle against evil for mankind. We might almost say with all reverence that he existed in the human race to fight for us, and now far off the end must have seemed. Sometimes, when his chosen apostles were so stupid and unable to see what his mission meant, when the people of his own hometown turned against him, when crowds followed him only for the excitement of watching his miracles. But there was a day coming, a day of joy, and for that joy that was set before him, he endured. Before that day could come, however, there was the most sorrowful and grievous happening of all, his death upon the cross. So our Lord came to his V-Day triumphant through sadness and pain, just as we do. He arrived back in heaven on Ascension Day, as a victor, it is true, having deserved all a congregation of the courts of heaven, but for all that, so different from what he was when he left heaven and came down to earth, for he came back with wounds in his hands and feet and side. Let not that be forgotten by those who have come to the end of this German war, wondering whether they can or ought to rejoice because there has been so much sorrow. Our Lord's experience is the same. The joy that was set before him was only reached through death and wounds, and yet, because the right cause had been vindicated, there was reason for great joy. But our Lord still goes with us all the way. It's wonderful how his experience always matches ours. After his ascension, the victory was his, certainly. But there was still the whole human race to re-educate and the benefits of the victory to be made available to them, and themselves to be made fit to receive those benefits. It has been a long job, and it is still going on, with the church doing the work under his direction. Our victory in Europe is won, but there is a long job ahead to make liberty available again to everybody. But can't you see it as a job after God's own heart, since he himself is doing the same thing? If God is with us in the fight, in the sorrow, in the victory, in the rejoicing, in the reconstruction, if God is with us, who can be against us? Amen. While the congregation remains seated, the school choir will sing for us the anthem, Victory Day.
Thank you. Today, we remember the Allies' formal acceptance of Nazi Germany's unconditional surrender on Tuesday, the 8th of May, 1945. When Germany was defeated, celebrations erupted throughout the Western world. In Great Britain and Northern Ireland, crowds gathered in the streets to party. Marking the end of six long years of war, austerity, and tragedy, elated crowds hugged, danced, and sang patriotic songs, while revelers partied by jumping into fountains and climbing monuments in a huge outpouring of emotions. Although the war in Japan continued until the 15th of August, 1945, for thousands of people, VE Day was the light at the end of the tunnel. Led by the Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, Great Britain and Northern Ireland had survived some of the darkest days in history. People in the United States also celebrate VE Day and the part the American Armed Forces played in the Allied victory. The National World War II Museum in New Orleans is home to a fascinating collection of letters dating from the war, some of which describe in vivid detail the VE Day celebrations in London. One such letter was written by American serviceman Sergeant Richard Merritt, who had a 48-hour pass to visit London with his friend Bob Campbell from their air base at Bury St. Edmunds. They were support staff with the 364th Fighter Group, 8th Air Force. Sergeant Merritt wrote a 10-page letter to his parents, describing his experiences in the capital on such a jubilant occasion. After arriving in London on the Underground, they immediately became immersed in the crowds, who excitedly grabbed them, started dancing and singing Yankee Doodle and God Bless America. He described how they felt like official representatives of the US and had a smashing time. Piccadilly was a solid mass of Allied humanity. At the UK's Surrey History Centre, more VE Day letters are carefully preserved, including one from Marjorie Kelsey of Redhill, who poured out her feelings in a letter to her husband William, who was in the army. She began the letter by saying, "This is a very happy day, VE Day. My darling, now we can really start to make plans for the lovely future we shall spend together." She described how lots of soldiers and girls were dancing in the street by the lights. Following the gloomy blackout, when no lights could be lit after dark in case they became targets for the German bombers, Marjorie said, "We knew for sure then that victory in Europe was here." Back in 1945, letters were the way thousands of servicemen kept in touch with loved ones back home. Long before email, texts, social media, and other forms of digital communication, the post office was a vital link between the soldiers on the front line and their family and friends back in Britain. Receiving a letter was a great morale booster for servicemen. Ordinary men and women worked at sorting offices under constant threat of aerial bombardment to ensure the mail got through. In May 1940, the Secretary of State for War, Sir Anthony Eden, broadcast an appeal to British men who were too young or too old to join the forces to become a local defence volunteer. Postal workers formed their own battalions to defend their post office buildings against a possible enemy ground-level attack. Despite the hardships of war, any mail delayed by enemy action was delivered by the post office within 48 hours. Post bags containing tens of thousands of letters were flowing out from the UK to the troops on the front line to keep their spirits up as the government realised the importance of receiving a letter. Even in today's modern digital era, let us never underestimate the importance of the written word.
The Second World War was a time of major upheaval for children in the United Kingdom. Over 1 million were evacuated from towns and cities and had to adjust to separation from family and friends. Many of those who stayed endured bombing raids and were injured or made homeless. All had to deal with the threat of gas attacks, air raid precautions, rationing, changes at school and in their daily life. Disruption and shortages continued after the war, and the post-war period saw changes that would have a lasting impact on children's lives. On the 1st of September 1939, 2 days before war was declared, the British government began evacuating children from towns and cities. It was the largest movement of people ever seen in Britain. During this early period, known as the Phoney War, the expected air raids didn't happen and many evacuees went home. But the invasion of France and the start of air attacks in Britain led to a second wave of evacuation, including thousands of children who were sent overseas to North America, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. From September 1940, the German Air Force began night bombing of cities throughout Britain. At the start of the Blitz, London was attacked on 57 successive nights, and later there were heavy raids in other major cities and ports, including Belfast. During the Blitz, 7,736 children were killed, and 7,622 seriously wounded. Many children were orphaned or lost brothers and sisters. As well as being victims of the raids, children were involved in relief efforts.
Those over 16, including Girl Guides and Boy Scouts, help with air raid precaution services, later known as civil defence. During air raids, acting as messengers, fire watchers, or working with the voluntary services. The work could be highly dangerous, and many were killed while on duty. Bombing continued throughout the war, and in 1944, new weapons, the V-1 flying bomb and the V-2 rocket, caused more devastation and casualties. The war disrupted the education of many children. The mass evacuation of 1939 upset the school system for months, and over 2,000 school buildings were requisitioned for war use. One in five schools was damaged by bombing, and air raids frequently stopped lessons for hours, leading to a decline in attendance. Although many schools were evacuated during the war, others chose to stay open and make the best of it, converting cellars and basements into makeshift classrooms. Teachers, books, papers and equipment were all in short supply. When the war began in 1939, most children left school at 14. The 1944 Education Act changed this, introducing free secondary education for all children and a leaving age of 15, but it didn't take effect until after the war. Despite wartime conditions, children still had time for games and entertainment. Cinemas were popular with both teenagers and younger children. Bomb sites made tempting play areas and hunting grounds for shrapnel souvenirs, and toys and games with a wartime theme were very popular, usually homemade because of the wartime shortages. Comics and books, such as Captain W.E. John's novels about Biggles and Warrels of the Women's Auxiliary Air Force, also focused on heroic exploits and wartime adventures. The arrival of large numbers of American soldiers and airmen in 1942 was an exciting development and brought American culture to British children in person for the first time. American service members generous with their off-ration chocolate and chewing gum and organised children's parties and dances at their bases. The Second World War ended in 1945 after the surrender of Germany and then Japan. Victory in Europe, VE Day, was celebrated on the 8th of May and victory over Japan on the 15th of August. On VE Day, there were thousands of street parties, fancy dress parades and bonfires held across the country. Although food was still rationed, great efforts were made to provide treats for children. Similar events took place on a smaller scale after the Japanese surrender. After the war ended, family life remained disrupted for many months and sometimes longer. Evacuees who had stayed in the country now rejoined their families after years of separation. Fathers returning from the forces or from prisoner of war camps seemed like strangers to children who had never known them. And for children who had lost parents or loved ones or had been made homeless by the war, life would never be the same again.
A letter from King George VI. Today, as we celebrate victory, I send this personal message to you and all other boys and girls at school. For you have shared in the hardships and dangers of a total war, and you have shared no less in the triumph of the Allied nations. I know you will always feel proud to belong to a country which was capable of such supreme effort, proud too of parents and elder brothers and sisters who by their courage, endurance and enterprise brought victory. May these qualities be yours as you grow up and join in the common effort to establish among the nations of the world unity and peace.
The collection, which will be taken during the singing of the next hymn tonight, will be in favor of both the mayor's preferred charity for the year and also the Royal British Legion. Remember to show kindness and to share what you have with others, for such are the sacrifices of which God approves. The collection hymn, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided.
Provided, Lord, for
let us pledge ourselves anew to the service of God and our fellow men and women, that we may help, encourage, and comfort others and support those working for the relief of the needy and for the peace and welfare of the nations. Lord, Lord God, our Father, we pledge ourselves to serve you and all humankind in the cause of peace, for the relief of want and suffering, and for the praise of your name. Guide us by your Spirit. Give us wisdom, give us courage, give us hope, and keep us faithful now and always. Amen. O Lord our God, as we remember, teach us the way of peace. As we treasure memories, teach us to hope. As we give thanks for the sacrifices of the past, help us to make your future in this world until your kingdom come. Amen. Let us pray. We pray for those who served and died in the Second World War. O God of truth and justice, we hold before you those men and women who have died in active service, particularly in the Second World War, whose sacrifice brought victory in Europe. As we honor their courage and cherish their memory, may we put our faith in your future, for you are the source of life and hope, now and forever. We pray for those who serve today. Father God, we remember all those who served in the armed forces during the Second World War. We honor their sacrifices. We also remember and give thanks for all who worked hard on the home front to feed the nation, to care for evacuees, to provide medical care. We pray for all who work for peace today in Ukraine, Sudan, Yemen, Iran, Gaza, and Israel. O Lord, when thou givest to thy servants to endeavor any great matter, grant us also to know that it is not the beginning, but the continuing of the same until it be thoroughly finished, which yieldeth the true glory, through him for the finishing of thy work laid down his life, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, bless our sovereign King Charles and all who are in authority under him, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace, to the honor of your name and the good of your church and people, through Jesus Christ our Lord. God grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the church, the king, the commonwealth, and all people, peace and concord, and to us and all his servants, life everlasting. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Thank you. Everybody is now invited to a celebratory supper in the parochial hall. I do hope you'll come across and continue this wonderful evening of celebration and fellowship, but in less formal surroundings. The recessional hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God."